Hey guys, welcome to podcast number 32 of Let's Talk Secure Cloud Networking with myself, Noman Mustafa, and John Gonzalez. We are here after a little break, been very busy with helping customers successfully move to the cloud, but very happy to have our guest, Maximilian Schmidt, who has been a network architect for a very famous and worldwide global healthcare company called Fresenius, who provides healthcare services and focusing on dialysis and research around that specific area. So very happy, Max, to have you here and looking forward to working with you on understanding some of the aspects around your cloud journey. What did you learn? And maybe help and benefit our audience who can take certain knowledge from you. So welcome to the show.
Thank you very much, Noman. Hi, John. Thank you.
Great. So before we start, Max, with every guest who comes, we always try to ask them, are they a coffee person or a tea person? And obviously there were so many coffee podcasts out there. We tried to say, okay, let's do different. You know, John is from UK, from Britain. He likes his tea. I love my tea. But what is your take? What do you like?
It depends. So normally I'm drinking coffee twice a day, but if I'm getting sick, I choose the tea and tea. A lot of tea.
That's great. What kind of tea do you like?
Peppermint.
Peppermint tea.
Yeah. That's good.
But
that's good.
Without any sugar, something like that. A coffee also black. Black like my heart.
That's great. So before I ask you, Max, for your intro, I want to share with our audience, right, and with John as well, that Max actually came to our Avatrix ACE Design Expert panel exam, which is basically about focusing more on how do you architect and how you design based on reference architectures and design pillars. And he's one of the guy who did really, really well. And he came into our radar. So very happy to see. And obviously, you know, we are all in the era where everybody is learning, right? And the lessons learned are critical. And this hopefully will help them, help our audience in terms of ensuring that they start to weave in some of these learnings into their own journey. So Max, first question around, maybe introduce yourself and talk about your cloud journey, right? And within that cloud journey, also help us understand what are the core business for Fresenius and what do they do and what are they doing with the cloud?
A lot of questions at once. So let me first introduce myself. I'm Maximilian Schmidt. You can call me Max. That's absolutely fine. I'm network architect of Fresenius Digital Technology. And I'm responsible with my team for the core network, for the cloud network, and also for the network security. So a lot to do for me and my team. Fresenius Digital Technology, or short FDT, it's very complex, the name, it's quite new, is the internal IT service provider of the Fresenius Group. And we are providing IT services to the business units, which is mainly FMEs, or Fresenius Medical Care. They are a world-leading dialysis services. Kabi, they are producing drugs and clinical nutrition, and Fresenius SE is also one of our customers. Fresenius contains more business units, also Vamed, which are providing management services for hospitals, for example, and Helios. They are running private clinics. All in all, it's a huge company and active in over 100 countries and has about 300,000 employees.
Wow, that's a big company, yeah.
So, and Max, when did you started your cloud journey? Obviously, is that something where you started your career? Was it something that you were asked to transform into? And did it align with how Fresenius was moving into the cloud? So maybe can you tell us something about your journey as well as the Fresenius journey?
It was very, very intense time, a very interesting time. So my predecessor, before I became architect, His guy was Thomas. I really love him. So he's a super guy, technically very good, and also from a human perspective, great. He started with the cloud stuff. He always grabbed the new stuff, and he started in, I think it was 2018, working with CSR routers, load balancers, next generation firewall inside Azure. And he was building some kind of test network. And he left, unfortunately, end of 2020. And I applied to his position as central infrastructure architect. And it was a hard way. So my cloud journey is, I'm a cold water guy. So throw me in, I can swim. I try to compensate the lack of knowledge I have with a massive time invest. So, and I had no practical experience, no hands-on knowledge, something like that. We, from the management, we got after it was announced that we are moving towards the cloud with our new CIO. We started to do some online course where you had some hands-on to AWS, to Azure, where you gain some information about peering and networking. How is it working inside the cloud? It was very interesting, to be honest. Layer 2 has gone. Okay, it's a little bit different than on-premise. And we also learned about Terraform, and then I was flashed somehow. So I recognized if you have code, you're writing code, and this code is putting infrastructure into the cloud quickly with an API, and you can build it up, destroy it, build it up, destroy it. And that's what I did most of my time. I try to build infrastructure with Terraform and try to understand what did I build and how it is working. And my days were very long in this time. And
That's easy. Great. It sounds like your cloud journey was really more self-learning, that you put the time in, you put the effort in to further your knowledge, your technology capabilities within the SAM. That's really great, because you don't often see people commit that sort of time when they got a full-time job and maybe other things outside of work that they have to also do. That's fantastic. So Max, I've got a question. So from a Fresenius perspective, what were the goals that they were looking for when going to cloud? What were they trying to achieve? But also, how did you guys find us? What made you decide I'm going to use Aviatrix for my, you know, most critical cloud network platform? You know,
so interesting. The drivers going to the cloud, I think it's for most businesses the same. They want to save costs. They want to improve the agility. You have a lot of advantages in the cloud. You can rethink your applications while moving to the cloud. You can redesign them. You can make them cloud native if they are able to be cloud native. You can create a lot of value for your businesses by providing cloud infrastructure. Let's say you have a region in the world where you don't have a data center, which is very static. You can provide an infrastructure in the cloud to support the business in their growth. Very cool. You can work together with your businesses or your customers. If they want to test a new software, you can spin up a cloud instance. They can test very realistically if the application is doing what they expect to do. And afterwards, you can destroy it again. So if you compare it to an on-premise approach, where you have to put a physical server or a VM into a VLAN and make it possible to access for them, it's a nightmare. And in the cloud, it's done really, really quick. Yes, and also it was about offering competitive and transparent prices. I mean, if you're going to work on an offer for on-premise, where you have to calculate parts on a switch, how much does a part cost and so on, it's very different to the cloud, where it tells you a forecast or what the costs will be or the costs are at the moment, which really occurred. So you have to take this, consider this. Right. Yes.
And how did you find us? How did you find us?
I got a call from one of my security engineers. He said, There is a guy, his name is Frank, he's from Aviatrix, he's providing a product. And I said, okay, let's go into a call with him. And as a network architect, you're getting a lot of products from companies presented, but Aviatrix was something like it was like explosion. So he explained it to us and said, listen, you're in the cloud. There might be multi-cloud in the future. What problems do you have? And he felt my pain. He was able to tell me exactly which pain I was feeling all the time. Lack of visibility, for example. Mm-hmm. Or if we wanted to roll out new applications, new infrastructure, it was always horrible. There was one deadline after the other. We haven't been able to deliver. And he explained it to me, and that's where the love started.
Good. Yeah. We know Frank very well. He always does a great job. Yeah.
So Max, that's great. One question I have is, you said that Fresenius was in Azure, right? As the first or primary cloud provider, right? So is this because of their relationship with the cloud provider, or is it something that when they started shopping around, they found that Azure is the most suitable for the business? And then how does the other clouds come into the picture? Do you have a more like a multi-cloud architecture, or is something that you want to keep yourself flexible in terms of, okay, if I want to leverage other services in the cloud, I want my architecture to be able to do that? So where is that strategy and thinking coming from?
So Azure was the first cloud because it was just the choice of the architect. He just started to do it in Azure, and it became from a testing environment and productive one. So everything in this environment was named test, 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 and suddenly it was a productive one. And if you're having one cloud, you have to go to a second one. And it's not often the decision of the architect, because it's the decision of the business. They will come around someday with a cable in their hand and say, hey, I have here AWS, can we please connect it somehow? And then you have a construction like you have Azure, you have IPsec tunnels to AWS behind it. There is again a huge lack of visibility. So there are IPsec tunnels to AWS and you don't see them. You know they are there, but you don't have any great telemetry data. And that's one of the biggest problems. And if you're talking about architecture, there are very strict, let's say, you want to fulfill something. That means your architecture should be straight and repeatable, and you don't want to think about native constructs in GCP, in Azure, in AWS. So it should be the same over all the clouds. And this is where, Aviatrix did a great job, to be honest. So
great.
I think that's one of our strengths at Aviatrix, that repeatable architecture. You don't need to know all of the ins and outs of all of the cloud provider. Quick question here for you, Max. I came before Aviatrix. I came from the financial sector, heavily regulated sector. You're coming from the health sector, another heavily regulated sector. I know how challenging audit, compliance, and regulatory examinations can be. So from your perspective, I don't know whether you ever got involved with any of the regulations or with any of the examinations when they come to audit your environment. But can you talk to us a little bit about what sort of protection Fresenius is doing to protect customer data? Because these are the sort of things that regulators are going to focus in on, as you know, right?
So when we're talking about customer or patient data, this is a super critical topic in healthcare. So if you ask any questions, it never really concerned me in handling this data. But as an architect, you have to ask the right questions at the right time. That means if somebody is going to do something nasty with this data, they want to put it into the cloud, you have to ask, let's say, your security data officer, what are they going to do with the data? Which data is transferred here? And I don't even know if there are any regulations or any straight answers. We never got any straight answers of yes or no, or you can do it or you can't do it. There is always something it's soft answers. Yeah.
Exactly. They never tell you, unless they want to shut you down if you're doing things really badly, of course, and they have the right to do that. But they never tell you how to do things. They'll ask you all of the challenging questions. What's your operational resilience model? What happens if this cloud goes down? Where is all your patient data then, right? Has anyone else got access to it? How do they get access to it? All of those sort of questions that you have to know the ins and outs, and you have to give them all the right answers, because if you leave anything open, they come back and they'll challenge you even more, you know?
So. Yeah, that's it exactly. And if you did some audits, you know what questions they are asking, yeah. And you should have an answer to these questions. So for example, as we are a service provider, we should encrypt our data in transit. And while we started the cloud journey, we got Azure Express Lines, of course, because we have big amounts of data. And we asked around to consultants, etc., how are you going to encrypt the data? And they said, no, none of my customers is encrypting the data on Azure Express. And I said, that can't be. There must be any possibility to overcome the limitations or encrypt 10 gigs into the cloud.
Yeah, that's great. So Max, I think this is a good segue to an important question I wanted to ask around security, right? So, and I think if I look at security, right, it's nowadays, you know, with all of the things happening and, you know, data moving, the customer's data moving to the cloud, security, it has to be a first-class citizen. It cannot be an afterthought. It cannot be a bolted-on secondary design decision. It should be the day one mandatory discussion that needs to happen around how are you going to protect your assets, how you're going to protect your application data, your patient data. And I think the way we see things, at least at Aviatrix, is security is not about selling by intimidation. Right? It cannot be, it should not be, hey, you know, you want to have security because, you know, you will get breached, right? Or, you know, you have a cyber attack, so I'm standing at your door trying to push my firewalls. It cannot be that. It has to be a day one, day zero, right? In a first class citizen around, how do I make you agile? How do I make your business agile? How do I ensure that the safety guardrails are available with your infrastructure day one, so that you never lose sight or you never get distracted with these events, right? So it's not by selling security by intimidation, but making sure the security is a first-class citizen of your network fabric from day one. And then it just become part of your DNA, of your infrastructure. And that's why I think if you look at Aviatrix, a lot of capabilities that we have, whether it's encryption, whether it's threat detection, whether it's a threat guard, whether it's fingerprinting or baselining your infrastructure to see we can detect anomalies in your environment. All of this is ingrained and embedded, right? Without a focus to sell you by intimidation. So from your perspective or from your experience when Fresenius started leveraging the platform, what are some of the security capabilities you were able to leverage right from within the platform, and how it helped with your overall focus and requirement of securing the customer and the patient's data?
So when we're talking about security, in my opinion, it goes heavily hand in hand with visibility. So if you build cloud infrastructure with native constructs, you have a huge problem in visibility. If you're implementing, let's say, next generation firewalls, you have a central instance, but you can never be sure that all the data is flowing over these, let's say, next generation firewalls or NVAs. With Aviatrix, and this is also what I expect from a network, I have a single pane of glass, which I can open up. Let's say it's the Copilot, where I can see what's my topology, is everything okay, and is my data secure, what this is just what the what Aviatrix product delivers to me, to us. And very important is also, it's no one-man show. So if you build up an enterprise network, you have to take your guys by the hand, you have to provide them access, let's say, for the DevOps guys, for the security engineers, the security department, they all are, yeah, let's say, able to leverage Aviatrix to get insights into the networks. You can also onboard your operations team to check by themselves, do we have any problem? Is there any communication issue? Mm-hmm. And that's the great thing about Aviatrix.
It is right. It's especially Copilot, it's really what helps you. It's one thing getting to the cloud, right? That can be a challenge, but then you have to be successful when you're in the cloud, you know, for day two, day three operations and management. But security is a you know, you can talk about security all day, all night long. You know, it's a topic that's always going to be front and center, and quite rightly so, especially for in the cloud. But any sort of lessons learned from a Fresenius perspective, any sort of over and above the ordinary on terms of guardrails that you would put in place because you're a very heavily regulated environment or sector?
From a network security perspective, if I compare, let's say, the next generation firewall implementation possibilities, you should do that, definitely. So if we're talking about ingress traffic, for example, and if we're talking about Microsoft firewall you can use, which is not really a firewall, to be honest, this is a real big problem. Yeah, I mean, the CSPs, they are doing a great job. They are providing us the power we need to build our infrastructure on it. But they are behind the network capabilities we really need in the enterprise environment. That's a big problem. And this is where Aviatrix can help you to gain visibility and also the security you really need in your enterprise environment. And regarding regulatories, I mean, if you have some audits, you have to show something to the auditor. You cannot only talk, you have to show them. You have to show them, for example, a firewall rules. And if they see, hey, you have an environment, they can click through, they can really see, and they know the traffic is encrypted, and they want to know encryption parameters, etc. It really helps to get you through such audits.
Yeah. So the evidential data you can get out of Copilot is a really, it's really front and center to helping you pass that examination.
Right? Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
That's great. So and then Max, I think you did touch on this earlier, but for any cloud teams or any customers who are moving to the cloud, right, and they are finding themselves in a dilemma where they don't have the skills. Right. And maybe their strategy is to go with single cloud, but they, you know, may have another multiple clouds also on the horizon. From your experience, what would be your advice to them, or how do they fast track their skills, at least from a cloud networking and security perspective?
So if you're not planning to go the same way like me, with a massive time invest, I would recommend you to check out the ACE program, because in the ACE program, you have the possibility to see the limitations of the cloud providers. They are compared in this trainings, and you get a quite good overview over the CSPs and how to overcome also the limitations. What I also recommend is to use the Aviatrix sandboxing tool, because with this, you can start by your own, in your own pace. You can build up Aviatrix infrastructure. And then an extra tip is to check what did the Aviatrix environment build on the CSP level. Just disassemble the stuff, check the routes, the VNets, the subnets. How does this all stick together? And this is a great way how to learn how CSPs are working, or what the Aviatrix environment is putting into the CSP. And you could choose the CSP, whatever you want. It's a personal flavor.
Yeah. So yeah, just to double click on what you said. So ACE is basically stands for Aviatrix Certified Engineering Program that Aviatrix offers. And just a quick history of that, you know, a lot of the architects who joined Aviatrix about 2-3 years ago, when they wanted to learn cloud, we couldn't find any training that focused on cloud networking and security. Everything was more about compute and storage and, you know, other services, but there was no focus. And to be honest, networking and secure networking has never been a focus of CSPs, because this is not their bread and butter, right? They don't make money out of it. But obviously, you know, what Evitrix does, it basically, you know, embrace all of the basic native services of each cloud and then provide that abstraction and then provide advanced capabilities to help you be very successful in your cloud journey. But, you know, what we did is we took a step back and say, okay, you know, if we have to learn, like just like Max, we learned it the hard way. But then what we did is, okay, you know, others do not have to, should not be having to learn it this difficult way. So we started putting training modules about, okay, how do we teach people about what are the native constructs? And we learned, you know, every cloud from scratch. And, you know, each one of us took responsibility to create a module for each cloud. We teach how basic constructs works in each cloud, you know, how, where they are good, where there's room for improvement, or there's room for partner like Evitrix to step up and fill those additional gaps, because that's what ISV programs are, right? We are advanced partners focusing on a dimension like security and secure cloud networking. So we are able to add those advanced capabilities where every customer, no matter which cloud they are in, they feel that they can get more out of it. They can make sure that they are secure. They can make sure that they can troubleshoot better. They can make sure that they can do capacity planning better. They can make sure that they can shop for new services in, no matter which cloud they are in. So this is where I think when you go to the AS training and go through the modules, you get to understand what cloud provides to you and where you know Evitrix comes in and make things easier for you and provide you advanced capabilities. So definitely, I would also recommend for people who are trying to learn cloud. I think we are already about 17,000 people AS certified across 120 or 150 countries, which speaks to the volume of why this is so important, because skills in the cloud is critical, right? Because all these businesses who are moving to the cloud, they have to take their people with them, because they are the ones who needs to be managing these clouds. And a skill gap and a skill shortage are a huge issue for business leaders of today, which I think AS program is handling really well, and we'll continue to update that. So Max, coming back to your journey, right? So in your overall experience with working with Fresenius, is there any, you know, story? I think you mentioned about, you know, how you learned through the fire, right? When your peer, he moved out and you had to learn, but anything that you want to share in terms of a fun fact, a story, or maybe, you know, a key takeaway for the audience?
So one of the fun facts is when I learned about Terraform and the capabilities of Terraform, which I really love, I wrote a module for next generation firewalls of the recommended implementation of one of the vendors. It took me weeks, I think 2 or 3 weeks with testing, and it consists of two scale sets with split roads, outbound east-west and ingress traffic inspection. And with Evitrix, it took me 45 minutes. in a more efficient way. Yeah. And if you would ask me if my cloud journey was the most efficient way you can go, I would say, no, it is not. But if you ask me if it was the correct way, yes, it was.
Right.
Because I learned it the hard way. It burned in, and I will never forget.
I think sometimes baptism by fire is can be a good way, but it may not always be the right way to do it. But hey, you got to get started somehow in some way, right? If you wait, you'll never get started.
Yeah, that's it.
So absolutely. All right, I think we are almost over time.
Yeah,
John, maybe we are. You know, we can leave the audience with one key takeaway from Max, right? Or one or two, something that, let's say, you know, Max, if people forget everything that you have said or we have said, but one thing you want them to take away, one or two things, what would they be?
One thing is for networking guys out there, it's time to meet your DevOps guys. They know how to write code. They know how to operate CI/CD pipelines. Mm. And put your heads together. They are great guys. You can learn from each other. They can learn networking. You can learn how to code. And together, it's an unbeatable combination.
Absolutely.
That's a good learning for people. That is an excellent learning. Because, and I hope that, you know, with Evitrix, with our infrastructure as code, Terraform, then that helps to bring those teams together, you know?
Yeah. I highly recommend to go and do that. I think it's just a 4-hour self-paced course on infrastructure as a code that even if you have to know nothing about Terraform or CI/CD, you will come out well-educated on those concepts. So great advice, Max. And, you know, it's really great having you here. You know, I think you have done a tremendous job taking Fresenius to this cloud journey. Very, very successful and great to have you with us.
Yeah. Appreciate your time, Max. Thanks so much. We'll talk again.
Thank you very much. Thank you for inviting.